Welcome back, gamers, and this is another installment of the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. I am always one of your hosts, Mason, also known as Rad Dreams, and joining me as always, we have Darkness Tiger, also known as Devin.
Hi, that's me.
And we also have Chris, also known as iChameleonEye.
Yo.
What is going on? We just came back from Thanksgiving break, so hopefully everybody had a good Thanksgiving.
You know, it really was not bad. I'm more excited for the holiday season itself, getting an opportunity to eat all sorts of amazing food, listening to holiday music, because there are no Thanksgiving songs except for one. Overall,
are you talking about that Spanish one?
No. I'm talking about the beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits, you name.
So there's this Hispanic song, and I'm convinced it was made for Thanksgiving. I cannot recall the title for the life of me, but the like kind of chorus, if you will, this is going to be ridiculous. The chorus goes like this.
Idea, so calm down, Mason. You better get us the name for me canceled.
I'm not even joking.
You better provide us the name, and if you can provide us the name, I'm gonna pull that song.
While you guys are talking, I'll look up the clip of it really quick.
Mason's gonna be googling what's that Spanish turkey sounding song. Chris, what's been up on your week?
Not much, man. Just been gaming, big gaming, and
that's
sick.
A plus.
So gaming.
What have you been playing? You've been still doing Destiny 2. What are you still finished? Did you finish Starfield yet?
Okay. So I have not finished Starfield yet. But I have continued to play it more and more. I've actually been playing a lot of different games. All right, where to go? Let's start with the Switch. I bought three games on the Switch because it was buy two, get one free. So I was like, sure. I don't play you that much, so I'm trying to show the Switch some sort of love, right? So I got the Super Mario RPG, which is the greatest Mario game ever created.
This guy.
Then I also got.
I don't know if you're being serious.
He's not.
I'm being 100% serious.
No, you're
it's
not.
It's the greatest Mario game ever created.
There's no way.
Oh yeah, without a doubt, it's not even close. It's not even close at all.
That's hard. That's very hard for you to say. It's the greatest Mario game because you look at Mario Kart Double Dash, you look at Mario 64, even Mario Galaxy. To say that this game reigns supreme above them all.
Mario Sunshine,
you played.
I really like Mario Sunshine, but Super Mario RPG is strictly better.
What makes it better?
So you're not talking about one. So are you talking about the re-release of Super Mario RPG, or are you talking about Wonder?
It's re-release of Super Mario RPG.
Okay.
Not
gotcha.
Wonder.
Okay, gotcha.
Wonder, no. Wonder's just a very...
I just want to make sure I'm on the right track.
So for sure.
So you would agree that Wonder is Game of the Year material?
No. Not even... No. It is a good game. It is a Mario game. I swear, and I mean this with the most respect possible, with the graphical team and anyone else involved in the designing of the levels and everything, I swear you guys were on like LSD or something. Because those graphics go wild.
Really?
And I'm like, what is happening? You guys are like it's fun, but you're like, holy shit, they're crazy.
Well, it's actually funny.
But no,
it's funny
it is
you say
not.
Because Mr. Miyamoto is the one who actually designs the levels.
Well, yeah, heard, Mr. Miyamoto is partaking
He's on something.
Yes. Like, if you even just saw, like, one or two of these levels, you'd be like, what in the hell?
It's like, what are you doing, bro?
That is the question.
Well, in Reggie Phillis Ames' book, the former head of Nintendo America, he actually had a couple meetings with Mr. Miyamoto. And one thing he noticed is Mr. Miyamoto actually does not drink. He'll go out to a bar, but he'll just get coffee. And Reggie noticed that whenever Mr. Miyamoto sees something that's just slightly different, he'll take out his notebook and he will write it down. Every single thing that he sees is slightly unique. He will write it down because he's going to plan on using it at some point later on in the game.
That's actually kind of interesting, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool philosophy. You were saying about this Mario game?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I played it for about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
This is something for me and Victoria to play together. Like I was saying, Super Mario RPG, if you've never played that game, play it.
Because I played the original growing up.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it.
It's so good.
If this is from what I've heard from the outside looking in, I've heard that it's a huge, huge quality of life upgrade, huge graphical upgrade, just all in all, a top tier, RPG.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, like the weird thing about Super Mario RPG is it turned into the Paper Mario series. Mm. So, like, you never technically saw it again, but you kind of did.
Because
it became that.
I love Paper Mario.
I do, too. Until this last one, the Origami King is easily the worst Mario game I've ever played. Really? I actually don't know what they were thinking.
That's horrible. That is an interesting take.
It's bad.
I've never played it.
Just go on YouTube and just look at how you do the battling. You'll be like, so if I don't have, like, you have to like turn, you have to like make shapes and turn the enemies in a specific way to hurt them. And if you mess up, you die, basically. And so it's just like, oh, it's horrible. It's so bad. It's just not a good game.
I love how you're like, this game is bad, but I guarantee there is some listener or watcher out there who is like, this is the best game I've ever played. Chris, you don't know what you're talking about. That's why you prefer the prequels to Star Wars. You don't know what you're doing.
The prequels are strictly better. Come at me, bro.
Well, I don't know about that. The only thing I will say about the prequels with Star Wars is the best thing about them is Darth Maul. That's it.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I thought he was a cool villain, and I like his double lightsaber. And I will say the choreography is better in terms of the fights. The fights are just on another level in terms of how they're done, that the older films just frankly can't touch because they're older and they didn't have the larger budget that these newer films set before the old films. So I can understand why the effects, the fights, all that shit are just so much better. But narratively, the prequels are garbage, in my opinion.
Could you imagine like how disappointed a person would be if like the prequels came out before the originals? So it's you would be taking a major step back. Like, wow, this movie is nothing but dialogue.
I don't know if Star Wars would be as popular had we received the prequels first, to be completely fair.
So are you saying like the prequels?
That's
are you saying like the pre? So are you saying like the prequels like back then when the originals came out, or like the prequels followed by the current? Okay.
So like let's say Episode One came out in the early 80s, or was it 1979? I believe. something like that.
It was in the 70s.
So if episode one came out during that time, but had the 1970s effects, so same story, same everything, but using current technology from that time period, I don't know if it would be as successful.
I think it probably would.
You think?
Be because I agree with Chris. Because there is that non-prequel one where you have two robots just walking through the desert for like half the movie. So I think there was a chance.
New Hope is good.
That movie was called, the OG. Movie was called Dune. That movie was called Dune. Leave him alone.
Dune was awesome. Dune was different.
It was just two robots the walking.
Dialogue
the
was at least good. Stop it. You leave Dune alone.
Mason, what have you been up to for the holidays?
Well, we just got back from Thanksgiving. So a lot of good food, a lot of good company. But that's about it for that. But in terms of like gaming and stuff, not too much gaming, but some updates and some cool stories in regards to gaming, I will say, that involved me. I've been in the works trying to organize this, but I have a special event coming up on December 12th on my Twitch channel that I will be advertising as it gets closer. So those listening, you get a exclusive right now. So December 12th will be marking the passing of my mom, who unfortunately fell victim to pancreatic cancer. So what I will be doing on that day is I will be doing a charity event to help raise money for pancreatic cancer research by doing a Let's Play for Spyro the Dragon, Reignited Trilogy. Nice. And this will be on behalf of the Pancreatic Action Cancer Network of America, or PanCAN. And all proceeds raised will go towards that organization to help with pancreatic cancer research. It'll start, December 12th at 8 a.m. EST. And the goal is to get through as much of the trilogy as possible in one day. And hopefully we can raise enough money. And even if you can't donate, that's fine as well. As long as tuning in is just as good. Helping spread awareness is the most important thing. So don't feel like you're obligated to donate anything. Just stopping in, giving good wishes, and spreading awareness towards the disease itself just goes a long way. So that is coming up, and I'll be advertising it more as it gets closer.
Okay, for people, listeners now, or TikTok users now, where can they go to catch the stream?
So you can catch the stream at Brad_Dreams at twitch.tv. That is my channel.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Thank you, Mason. We appreciate that. We'll definitely try to tune in.
Yeah, start at 8 a.m. and I'll most likely go till like 8 p.m. EST. So pretty much like a marathon, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
All right. Other than that, that's been. What's that?
Can I ask you guys a quick question?
What's up?
So.
This is pertaining towards the day after Thanksgiving, so Black Friday. How do you guys feel about Black Friday deals, or how do you feel about the Black Friday secondary holiday in general? Do you think it's worth it going out and spending money? Do you think it's all a scam? How do you guys feel about Black Friday?
I'll go first. So for me, I think that Black Friday has lost its meaning over the years. I don't think it's as significant as it was back in the day. It's not so much like an event. Well, it's an event, but also not an event anymore. Because I feel like Black Friday starts earlier and earlier, And it's just like you don't even need to wait anymore till Black Friday to get like the best deals necessarily. Sometimes you can even get even better deals prior to Black Friday. Same goes for like Cyber Monday as well. I mean, a lot of these quote unquote sale holidays have become, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Diminished.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Big time.
What about you, Chris? Like, what are your thoughts?
Basically the internet has kind of killed Black Friday in a way. Just because why am I going to go out and fight old Bill from down the street for something if I could just do the same thing online, where online usually they have the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I have completely, basically just completely tuned out for Black Friday. I don't usually do anything on it.
Yeah, I mean, my wife and I went out for Black Friday shopping, and we did get some really good deals, for sure. Because what we usually do is we get all of our Christmas shopping done that day, or at least a vast majority of it, and then kind of finish up on like Cyber Monday, for instance. And we did come across some very good deals, 100%, but I think back in the day, like when we were growing up, there was more of a tizzy about Black Friday, because in those days, I sound like a boomer right now. In those days, we didn't really have the ubiquity of the internet.
Yep.
Like you said, I remember, I'm dating myself. I remember when Circuit City was still a thing. And like Radio Shack.
Oh, what's Circuit God, City?
So Circuit City was an electronics purveyor or retailer that, by us, it was kind of by this like a Home Depot and all that. I don't want to dox myself, so I won't say where I'm from. but. Yeah, so there was a electronics purveyor called Circuit City that was like akin to Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
Radio Shack. I did say Radio Shack. My wife just walked in. She's just like, "What about Radio Shack?" I'm like, "Hey, I said Radio Shack."
What about? But actually, it's funny. Radio Shack is still around.
Yeah, which is insane.
In other countries, right?
No, I've actually been one here, not too far away. I was out on the motorcycle one summer day. And I was just riding on a back road, and then just this random plaza was a Radio Shack. I actually have a picture of it if you guys want to see it. I didn't believe they were still a thing, but it was an actual Radio Shack in the middle of nowhere. And people were weirded that I was taking pictures of it. People were like, "Why are you here?
Really?
You want to buy a radio?" No.
But to kind of finish my point about those days is that Black Friday was a event. People waited outside, they camped out, all this shit. Same applied for video game releases, like PS2, Xbox, like when those Xbox 360 and PS2 primarily, you had people camping out, you had people doing the midnight releases, getting hype, getting excited, and now you don't really get that anymore.
Well, the reason I brought that question up...
you're so right.
The reason I brought that question up was because a lot of people were actually talking about this past Black Friday and whether it was a success or not. Every article would make you believe that, this Black Friday was such a success. When in actually, hi, little Arya Stark. every Black Friday, saying that only thing that made a difference was people buying their things online. But then there were quite a lot of people who were going on social media who were exposing corporations. And what I mean by that was...
Yeah, I saw a couple of these images.
Y'all know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So one of the images, I think it was at a Best Buy, and Best Buy had a bunch of like 65-inch TVs.
It was a TV. Yes,
it was like a 65-inch TV, and... It was like, Black Friday deal of like $320 or whatever. And then, like, the person removed the Black Friday deal, and it still said $329.
Yep. Which is fucked up.
And we're seeing a lot more corporations just doing some stuff like that. And I think also skeevy. A part of the problem. It's skeevy. Inflation is a common everyday problem. And we would be more likely to go ahead and spend money on Black Friday if it feels like inflation is leaving. But if corporations are just going ahead and just slapping a Black Friday label and not changing the price, I think that as a consumer, we need to stop purchasing.
Oh, I agree with you, because the most powerful vote that you can issue is with your wallet. 100%.
Very true.
I mean, these companies will not get the message if we do not vote with our wallets.
That is incredibly true.
All right, so let's go ahead and get into our very first topic. And it's a very unfortunate one, especially right before the holidays.
Yeah.
Mason, do you have this topic for us?
Yeah, I do. And so this is coming from NPR, issue today, actually. They talk about how roughly 6,500 video game workers have been laid off, you know, globally since, you know, January of last year. And this does seem to be a trend, and especially the most popular, target of these layoffs is Epic Games, who we all know makes Fortnite, right? So they accounted for 16% back in, I believe, September is what it was for just them alone, which is pretty substantial. And we have the article on NPR, and I won't go through the entire thing because it is fairly longer. So if you are interested, feel free to check it out for yourself. We have the host, known as A. Martinez, and he's interviewing this guy named Amir Satfat, who wants to help these laid off workers find jobs. He created this thing called Game Jobs Workbook for those seeking work on video games. So if you are affected by this or are interested in a job within this industry, you know, feel free to check that out for sure. But essentially the main topic, or the main takeaway rather, is ever since COVID hit, it really put a strain on the industry itself, but that's not, you know, the primary cause, obviously. I mean, what do you guys feel is the root cause?
I would say greedy corporations. Mm-hmm. I would say poor allocation of resources, poor management. And the fact that a lot of these CEOs are just making insane amounts of money compared to the other lower level employees that are working in the company. Mm-hmm. So they cut them first instead of cutting the CEO's check.
Definitely.
I would agree with that. What about you, Devin? I would 100% agree with that. And it's weird that we always talk about how, this game is the highest selling game of the year, this game has sold millions and millions of copies, and then we always hear about the positive, like it's the corporation is blowing up at how well this game is selling. Oh, we're getting all these awards, we're doing so well. But then, about a month later, quietly, on page 4, we're actually laying off all the people who made that game.
Yeah.
And we're giving our executives and our CEOs bonuses.
What's actually super telling about this interview is Satvat goes on to say that 90%, roughly 90% of all of these layoffs that were incurred happened in North America. That is insane to me.
Yeah.
Roughly 90%, almost all layoffs happened in North America. That is insane to me.
It's probably it's because has to do
other
a lot.
Countries have a.
I say it has to probably do a lot with the corporate environment in other countries.
Yeah.
In the US, the United States government sees corporations as more valuable than the worker, whereas in other countries, the worker is more valuable than the corporation.
Yes. And to kind of put it into perspective as well, like not to focus so much on like Japanese companies, but they're. I believe it was, oh gosh, I can't even recall the video game company off the top of my head. It's not like Nintendo or anything like that. It's a smaller one. The CEO of that company, I think his max salary, and he limited himself, was roughly 250K.
That's still a sizable salary, by the way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is, but it's nowhere close or even remotely close to that of a American CEO. So I do agree with Chris and how he says that, you know, you got to stop overinflating these, you know, leaders of these companies. Yes, it's a very important position, don't get me wrong, and they should be paid a fair amount for their knowledge and expertise, but you do not need to make like oodles and oodles of millions. You really don't.
Yeah. No, it's unnecessary.
But in more
how else are we supposed to know? How else are we supposed to know if the CEO is worthwhile unless we give him a $50 million a year paycheck and then a $30 million a year golden parachute if he fails? How are we supposed to know?
Hmm. I forgot to mention, speaking of CEOs, now that the Microsoft and Activision Blizzard deal got finalized and got pushed through, I will be officially supporting games by Blizzard.
Good shit.
Because Bobby Kotick is leaving January 1st.
Yep.
So good fucking riddance to him. Honestly, we should have a goodbye Bobby party.
Yeah,
I love it.
Honestly, pardon my language, but fuck that guy.
Accurate.
But in more positive news, we got some teaser images from the new Fallout show, right, Devin?
We sure did. So the new Fallout TV show is going to be coming to Prime Video. I'm not sure if we have a release date yet. They're not saying it's supposed to be released April 12, 2024. Mm-hmm. However, I have a feeling that might get pushed back. But the very first images are coming out. And we see here we have a Steel Battalion battle armor. Maxim's pulls along a power suit. We have Overseers. We have Hank. Overall, it looks very cool. I love the color direction they're going with here. I love how it looks like it could exist in the Fallout realm. And the public reception has been actually very positive towards these images. People are actually very excited to see this. Only concern that I have, and you guys know my concerns, usually valid. Most of the time they're not, usually they are. And apparently Arya has the same concern as well.
Oh, God, I'm sorry you guys heard that.
No, you're good.
No, it's all right. You're good. She's a part of the podcast. I always thought of Fallout being more bleaker than these images show. Like, I don't know why the Fallout images that we're seeing seem a little bit too bright and too cheerful. Yes, I understand that there are funny moments, and yes, I understand like the tongue-in-cheek behind Fallout, but at the same time, you go in vaults where everybody's literally murdered, and there's one person just standing there eating everybody else.
Yep. I didn't even think about that, to be honest, because you're right. It's like a post-apocalyptic world. And there's crazy things walking around outside that are radiation infused, like kind of like Godzilla.
I was kind of like hoping for a more, I guess, color palette akin to The Last of Us. Because it's very similar. It's very similar in terms of the bleakness, you know. But I do agree, though, that these images are really positive. I like what I see. The power armor looks imposing, as it should. It looks high quality. It looks to be practical, which I'm very happy that they went that route and not. No, they did not resort to CG for that. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. There are two things. Go ahead, Chris.
I was just saying it's really nice to see that with the power armor suit, it looks like it did in the games.
Yeah, it really does. I'm very impressed with it.
So the two things that I had, the first comes from actually Todd Howard. And if you're curious which games this TV series is going to be based off of, it's actually not. This is Todd Howard goes into an interview and he says, it's not a retelling a game story. It's basically an area of the map and let's tell the story here that fits in the world that we have built. It doesn't break any of the rules and it can reference things in the game, but it is not a retelling of the game. It exists in the same world, but it's its own separate thing. So don't feel like you need to be a super Fallout fan to enjoy this. So that's point number one. And point number two is we've seen the success of The Last of Us on HBO. Everybody would hands down deny that that was a fantastic show. We've seen the moderate levels of success. We see the moderate levels of success with The Witcher on Netflix. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%, with the exception of the newer seasons.
Okay, fair enough. Now, the problem is this is coming to Prime Video. Does Prime really have a show nowadays that is must-watch TV? And here's my example to you. No one is talking about the Lord of the Rings TV show. That was the most expensive thing Amazon has ever done.
I would say their best show would arguably be The Boys. Probably. Yeah. I would say The Boys and Gen V or Gen 5 or however the fuck you want to say it. But that's is that a side story or was that a prequel to The Boys?
I haven't seen it
yet. I don't know. I only finished season one of The Boys. Not sure.
Well, according to my wife, one of their top shows is also Good Omens, my favorite, which is one of her favorite shows. And I watched it as well, and it's extremely enjoyable. Highly recommend watching it. Very, very good show. But I would say, like, for me personally, like The Boys, Gen 5, Good Omens, Invincible for animated.
I would say The Boys, The Expanse. There's another show. I just can't.
You're right, Devin, in that they don't have a lot of top tier content.
Yeah.
Yes. That you want to like rush out and be like, ooh, I need to see this. Ooh.
But are people rushing out to see Good Omens? Are people like waiting up all night for the new episode of Good Omens to stream?
according to my wife, they are. No, it is honestly a very good show. It is.
Based off of an incredible book.
Well, since we're on the topics of fit movies, Chris, you dropped an image that almost broke the internet.
Oh God! What was this?
The anime like the who's killed? Like,
oh
what?
My God! Yeah, I forgot about that.
Is that what you're talking about?
All right, yes. You want to explain this, Chris?
All right. So basically,
this is so good.
I dropped a Twitter link. I'll find it while I'm talking here. But basically, it goes into it shows like all these different like top like anime characters and how many people they have killed. And it is one of the best lists I've ever seen. It is so good. And it's hysterical. Oh my God, where is it? Oh yeah, here it is. Here it is. All right, anime characters kill count. And it goes Monkey D. Luffy from One Piece, 0. And what cracked me up about like their posts about him, they're like, you're lying. They're like, there's no way he hasn't punched some random marine or some bottom tier like pirate in a group and just straight up killed them. But on screen, you don't know if he has killed anyone. They have never said that he has killed anyone that he has faced.
No, and like I'm rewatching it, or not rewatching it. I'm watching it again because I made it to episode like I think 90 when I first saw it, and now I've far surpassed that. And so far, like rewatching it, and I'm watching all this fighting. Luffy has not killed anybody. He's severely ruined their day. But and as you said,
he has ruined their dreams.
As you said, Chris, he ruined their dreams. But his body count is very low.
But I do appreciate how at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, I think it was Luffy's like balloon that got popped.
Yeah,
Luffy has never killed anyone. Someone killed him.
Hey, congratulations, though, to One Piece as well as Luffy for appearing for the very first time in the Macy's Day Parade. So, kudos. Anime is getting more and more representation. We had Super Saiyan Blue Goku. We had Monkey D. Luffy from One Piece. And we had Pokemon. So, that's three right there.
Oh, hell yeah.
So,
that's only two awesome. Made it to the end.
What's really cool to see is like, yes, in the anime, like us anime watchers, we all know who Luffy is. Like, even if you haven't watched the show, you kind of know who he is. But it's cool to see that since he got that live action, it helped
popped him off.
Bring even more.
Oh, dude. I'll say what the live action of One Piece did is it reinvigorated a lot of people's interest. Or not reinvigorated, but it really piqued people's interest. A lot of non-anime watchers are like, I like this live action thing. I wonder what it's based on or if there's anything more like it. And then they discover, oh, shit, it's based off this manga. It's based off this anime. And then they check it out. Yeah. And then they're like, holy shit, this is kind of cool. And then that leads them down a further rabbit hole.
I'm going to go ahead and stop you right there because do not let the success of One Piece lead you into Netflix live actions because they are good.
They're bad.
Most of them are not bad. Good.
No, One Piece is the outlier. Unfortunately, Netflix as well as other entities.
It's the exception to the rule. It is not the rule.
100%. But yeah, that was really cool to see.
That was an epic Twitter feed, Chris, you sent. Only problem was I went and just kept scrolling through it. And boy, did I get a spoiler for the show that I'm watching. Yep.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know about it.
I don't understand this.
So, is it okay to say?
No, it's too fresh.
No, it's too fresh.
I did not know I was getting a spoiler.
We can talk about it offline, because I now know how this is supposed to end. I'm almost done, but we'll talk about it offline because I don't want to give a spoiler.
Yeah. Because that was a pretty hard spoiler.
Yeah, it was. I'm like, yo, give a warning before y'all just drop this in the comments.
Yeah, at least put a tag on it saying spoiler warning.
Right.
Yeah, no. But whatchamacallit, speaking of films, not necessarily anime per se, But we are having a third movie coming out in a series. And this one is going to be exciting. And I am talking about Sonic the Hedgehog 3. However, Woo! The main character is not going to be Sonic.
No, it is going to be Shadow the Hedgehog, his counterpart, if you will, his rival, his yin to his yang.
Ah. That's the goat going off.
He's the goat.
hey, Shadow is the goat, man. He's like one of the OG edgelords of our time.
Love it.
No, but the teaser image that they released looked really cool. His design looks like it's gonna stay true to his OG design. Like, his shoes in the image are basically the same that he wore in the games and other content that he's a part of, and his fur and all that looks very, very well designed. So I'm really looking forward to seeing like the whole visage.
Absolutely.
I think with this image, I think with this image, what they really should have done was they should have unveiled the image, but in the same like tweet or post or whatever, they should have been like a collaboration with Nike, because that would have shut the image down for the day.
That would have sold it out. That's a good move. So like, no joke, they should release shoes. Back to the Future did it.
That was like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, I kind of want to buy these.
those look sick. Like, if Nike made a pair of like Sonic shoes or Shadow shoes and released them as like a small drop or like a collab or what have you, those would sell out instantly. Yeah. Instantly.
You're not wrong. It would be.
I mean,
so
look
fast
at what happened with the shoes that they did for Back to the Future, you know.
Good luck finding them, and if you do, they're getting scalped at this point.
Yeah, those shoes are worth
a
pretty penny.
That's fair. Though it's limited edition. If the people who make Sonic the Hedgehog, if they released like 1,000 of these Shadow Edition shoes, and they said, here's the link right now, go and like the page, go ahead and share the page, and we will send out 1,000 of these shoes, this will probably be the biggest movie of next year.
Oh, 100%.
Guaranteed.
100%. And to be honest, I still need to watch Sonic 2. I haven't watched it.
I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I haven't watched it either. I was just thinking about it.
Not going to lie, I thought Sonic 1 was better than Sonic 2.
Really? Okay.
I didn't enjoy Sonic 2 as much as I thought I was going to.
Mm-hmm. Because I know how Sonic 2 ends. You know, they tease Shadow.
Okay.
But I think it's like an end of credits thing.
Yeah.
But I actually don't really know what the film's about. I really do want to watch it though, because I really enjoyed the first one.
Idris Elba is Knuckles, so that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. I know that. I wonder who's going to voice Shadow.
Oh, actually, they do have it. It's supposed to be. It's actually going to be Chris Pratt. They said that he's going to be doing that. Garfield, Super Mario.
he is certainly a voice actor.
He is a man of all trades.
Keanu Reeves. Also, can I say something about Keanu Reeves real quick?
What?
I'm watching a Formula One documentary, right? And it's like a five-parted series. Each episode is about an hour, okay? It's not a most interesting subject, but it's just something for me to put on the background. And the guy who's doing the interview is Keanu Reeves. And it's so weird to just see him just... Yeah, it's so weird to see him just sitting and having just the most mundane conversations about aerodynamics. And he's just like,
he's really passionate about that stuff.
He is. You can really tell, like, this is a passion project for him. Like, this is something that he enjoys doing. Mm-hmm. But it's also weird to see John Wick walk into a Formula One setting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He does. You know that he's a racer too, right?
Yeah, he's a racer and he has his own motorcycle company.
Yeah, he does competitive racing. He does competitive shooting. You know, because he picked that up as a hobby from John Wick, which is pretty awesome. Which is why, you know, he does a lot of his own stunts. Like, I was listening to an interview with Keanu Reeves, and he was talking about his stunts and everything. He said the only times that he doesn't really do his own stunts are the moments where, like, he falls or gets hit by a car, or like that scene, I believe it was in the fourth film, where he continually, like, rolls down the steps. That was done.
Oh my god. that was awesome.
Like, those scenes are the moments where his stunt double does the work, but for the most part, you know, Keanu does all of his gun scenes, you know, his kung fu scenes, all that. Like, wow. He's legit.
He's definitely 100% agree to that. I saw the guy who plays Homelander. Apparently, he did his own, like, stunt where they, like, connected him to these wires and sent him in the sky. Boy, is he really his character, because he was pissed.
Yeah, I saw the clip of that. He was just like, fuck, 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 fuck.
He said, I hate you. Why would ever I agree to do this?
They were like, man, this guy is not acting. He's actually an asshole. go ahead, Mason.
I was going to say, speaking of video game films, of all people, we have the magazine syndication known as Cosmopolitan reporting on video games and the movies that they, you know, appear in. It's like the title is The 15 Movies Adapted from Video Games and Where to Watch Them Right Now. So it doesn't say that they're the best movies, so I'll give them that. I think it's more of a clickbait sort of thing, but the 15 movies that they list are not the best.
I would say there are 5 movies in this series that I thought that were actually good, and then the rest were meh at best.
Yeah, like the first film they touch on is Five Nights at Freddy's, which is like, oh, okay, sure. If you're into it, it's an average film. What's the best way to phrase this? Baby's first horror film.
Yeah.
It's a PG-13 horror film. It's very tame in terms of the horror contained within. And it's an average film, you know, nothing too crazy, but also it's not a bad movie by any means. It's just average.
Yeah, I agree.
I would say it's average. I didn't care for it. I thought it was just, I would never rewatch this movie. If you're at like a dinner party, like a Halloween dinner party, you put this movie on in the background.
Yeah, like, I think I would watch it again at a Halloween party if I'm like drunk.
If you're drunk.
I'd have to be hella drunk to rewatch this.
Or maybe have like an edible or something and watch it. That'd be weird.
That was me at your Halloween party.
He was seeing things.
For sure.
No, I was stuck in endless conversations. Let's talk about the next movie, which is Gran Turismo. I actually liked Gran Turismo. I actually saw this movie twice. I actually liked how accurate this film was.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
And obviously, they list the Super Mario Brothers movie, whether or not you agree if it's a good movie. I thought it was a good movie. It was a solid video game inspired movie. It's not based, I don't think it's appropriate to say it's based off of the game, because like the Mario games don't really have narrative other than like Peach getting kidnapped.
Yep.
But like that's about it. That's about it. So I think what they did is they just take the IP of Mario and make a movie out of it, you know, make its own original story. But it was a good watch. I thought it was fine. Say what you will about Chris Pratt. I don't think he really did the best job, but, you know, it is what it is.
It was like nothing I've ever heard before.
But he just sounded like
y'all
himself.
Y'all already know my thoughts.
I liked Jack Black a lot as Bowser. Thought he was really good as that. Keegan-Michael Key's Toad was insane because he didn't even sound like himself. Like he put
no.
Like he legitimately sounded like Toad, so that was really cool.
That was awesome. Charlie
Day as Luigi did well, I thought. Mm-hmm. Anna Taylor-Joy is fantastic as Peach. I hated Seth Rogen as DK. I thought he was awful. Yeah. That fucking laugh, man.
Ugh. Oh my god.
Chris, did you see the Mario Brothers movie?
Yeah, I did actually.
Yeah, but
It was good. I did enjoy it.
And then we'll just kind of rapid fire the rest of these on the Cosmopolitan list. So we got Tetris, the original Super Mario Brothers movie, which, why?
Noted.
Uncharted, again, why? Oh. Lara Croft, Tomb Raider with Angelina Jolie. I mean, sure, I guess.
Good one. That one was good.
Sonic the Hedgehog. We got Detective Pikachu, which I did enjoy that. I thought it was solid.
Me too.
Had nothing to do with the original game, but, you know, it is what it is. The original, very first Resident Evil film, which I still enjoy.
I enjoy it, too. I really like it.
The other films that follow it, not so much. We got Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City, which was on Netflix, if I'm not mistaken.
What were you about to say, Devin?
I'm looking at this list, and I'm kind of offended that they forgot something. They included Tomb Raider twice, once as the Angelina Jolie version, and the other one as the Alicia Vikander version.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did not include, which is really annoying, is they didn't include Assassin's Creed. No, it was not a good movie.
No.
Yes, it was based off a game.
They also don't have Doom. I'm
very disappointed.
With
I think even The Rock Dwayne Johnson. I think even he forgot that he did that movie.
Mortal Kombat's the best one on this
Honestly,
list.
Honestly, I love the original Mortal Kombat. It's not a good movie, but it's fun.
No, it's great.
But they do list the brand new Mortal Kombat film from 2021, which was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
I enjoyed it.
I did too. I thought it was actually very good.
And then for the last film they listed.
Did anyone ever watch Tetris?
I did.
No.
I watched it.
What are your thoughts?
I thought it was really good.
I have never heard anyone say they watched it. I have never.
So I watched it. I watched it. Where did I watch it? I don't remember where I watched, but I did watch it anyway. But I thought it was a good movie. It was compelling. It was funny. It was relatively accurate at certain points. Obviously, they do over dramatize some things in regards to the story. But it was a solid film. I thought it was worth the watch. I actually recommend watching it for sure. I would probably give it like an 8 out of 10.
Wow,
it was slightly above average for sure. It was definitely above average.
Nice.
That's good. I would highly recommend checking it out. It's very succinct as a film. It, you know, really goes through the narrative in a very good way. So I think you'll like it.
Okay. Well, let's change topics here a little bit. Chris, do you have one of our final stories for us? This one is one that I think we should absolutely talk about because I am...
Yes.
I am so confused and have so many questions. I didn't get an opportunity to read this article, Chris. You're going to have to give us... You're going to read it for us.
Yes. Give us the TLDR.
All right. Yeah. So I guess someone uncovered an EA patent. Mm-hmm. Which would use AI to replace professional voice actors with fake you. So basically, what I kind of read into this was EA patented this AI, and what it would do is you would record, you'd probably record a few lines of your voice, and then the AI could take your voice and then use it to like play different mm-hmm. characters in the game.
My question is like, who's like it for?
Yeah, because EA games, let's be honest here, the vast majority of EA's bread and butter is sports games, which are licensed. Oh, right. Okay, your EA Battlefield sports. Character can talk now.
It's in the game.
Cool. And so is your voice. Your voice is in the game now, baby. Too.
Yeah, right.
is this a feature that anybody really wants? Let's be honest here.
I'd use this. I would 100% use this. We actually talked about it on one of these episodes where I said, this is the thing that I could see someone using AI.
Mm. What I see this going... for or being used for possibly is I do think like certain like famous people or well-known people could use this technology to input their voices for characters in the games and then like maybe distribute it to like fans for like a fee or something, or be like, hey, have you ever wondered what it would sound like if so-and-so played this character? Well, here you go. So right. Maybe it could be used for that, but like for me, I'm not remotely interested in inputting my voice into a video game character. To me, no offense to anybody, is a little vain.
Get me in there. I'm the vainest there is. Get me in there.
No offense to you, Chris. None to you. You do have a very good.
I charge.
You do have a very powerful and distinct voice.
Distinct is the word.
That's
there.
Right, baby. Nothing but yeah, straight.
It's a good voice. It's a good voice.
Oh, gosh. He can push.
I'm gassing you up.
Oh gosh.
I don't know. I personally, I wouldn't do it either, Mason. One, because I don't like the sound of my own voice. You listeners apparently enjoy it, so thank you for tuning in every single week for us to listen to our terrible voices, including Chris's. I just don't know how this would work. Okay, so you just talk, you talk into a modulation voice, and then now your voice is other characters. What if my character's an asshole? What if my character is a complete racist? Like I'm mm-hmm. somebody just walks in and like my character's a part of is Red Dead Redemption 2. My character's a Ku Klux Klan member. What? I'm good. I don't want to be a part of this.
I do think like this would be a good like streaming game, especially for people that do like funny voices or anything like that. They could have the AI record them, do a voice, and then they could play it like while they're doing like a Let's Play on like a stream. So I do see a purpose for it. I don't know. I'm very iffy about it.
Give me.
I actually, unrelated note, but something kind of reminds me of this topic. Back in the, I think it was the Xbox One days, the last Xbox generation. Remember there was like a game show that we all could just like hop in and just answer questions? Does anybody remember that?
I do not. Do you remember what it was called?
Oh my god, it was like versus 100 or something like that.
I think that's what it's called. One versus 100.
But yeah, I do not recall this.
Those are Yeah, it was called One Versus 100. This was in 2009, so this was the Xbox 360. 100 was a massive multiplayer online game show video game developed and published by Microsoft Game Studios for Xbox 360 and an adaptation of the trivia game show of the same name. Honestly, I'm surprised that with online capabilities now and the development of AI, why have we not seen more of these type of games? Like, we're not shooting at each other. We're all just sitting in a room, just doing our own things and hoping we're right. Like, those are the types of games we should be starting to see with this new generation. Because that game was a lot of fun.
But it's an interesting concept for sure.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll ever bring that back.
I don't know. It's a good idea, like, though. No.
Like, I don't know.
People are too racist to bring that back.
Oh, God.
Speaking of...
Can I ask you guys my final question? Oh, go ahead, Mason.
Sure. I was going to say, my real quick question, since we're talking about game shows, what do you think of Netflix doing their own version of a Squid Game?
I heard people got really hurt.
That's what I heard, too.
Here's my problem. Here's my problem. I don't care if people got hurt. And here's why. You knew what you were signing up for when you watched the show. Like, the show, people actually get murdered.
They died. Yeah,
so the fact you got hurt.
In the real show.
Brutal deaths.
Oh my God.
So this one chick on TikTok,
oh my God.
She actually was a contestant on on Squid Game. And she was just like, what they don't tell you about the show is they don't tell you timing. So on the red light, green light game, it makes it seem like each round is like 5 minutes. She was like, no, each round could be anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. And the room is kept at 20 degrees.
Oh my God.
And you legit cannot move. And so, yeah. So one girl, apparently she stopped in a crouching position. And like, if you're crouched for about 30 minutes in like 20 degree weather, you're eventually going to break. And she broke and she got hit. Mm-hmm. People are just like, wow, she couldn't hold the crouch for 5 minutes. They're like, no, the timing is not referenced in the show. They said the games take way longer than you think. And if you're signing up for this game where people get murdered and you get hurt, I guess that's fine. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I'm sure they had to sign a release form.
They had to. But would either of you guys sign up for Squid Game, the actual Squid Game reality show, and not expect something bad to happen?
I mean, if we're talking about the real one and I knew what I was getting into, then hell no, I would not sign up for that.
No.
But even in this fake one.
On the fake one, I think I would.
You knew what the challenges were. Well, you know what the challenges are. And you know some of those challenges clearly are not safe.
Yeah, but at least there's no risk of death.
True.
No, there's not. So that's why I can't believe people are complaining that they got hurt. Oh, well, we got her playing Red Light, Green Light. Well, in the real one, she had a gun.
Yeah. In the real one, you got shot. Yeah, you got shot in the dome.
You got sniped.
Yep. Boom, headshot. Boom.
Oh, my God.
But my final question for you guys. If you were a developer, would you care about Steam reviews? So let's say you made a game. You spent the last couple of years building this game. Taking your good old time, you release it, the numbers do okay, but then you go to the reviews, the Steam reviews, and everybody's kind of got their own opinions. Would you guys care about that, considering it was your project, or would you kind of just like let it go, considering that's just how the internet works?
I think I know where this is going. I would be lying if I said I would not care, because if it's a passion project or something that's essentially like my baby, more or less, in video game form, I would absolutely care what people say, because at the end of the day, you're making this for a consumer or the masses. So obviously, you want to take that feedback and run with it.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes you do run the risk on Steam as well as other places like Reddit or Rotten Tomatoes, where people hate review or hate bomb and just do these negative reviews just to pile on, just for the sake of piling on for whatever reason. I'll never understand that toxic part of internet culture, but if your game falls victim to that, you got to learn how to, you know, take your punch as well as take the necessary actions to remove those reviews.
Well, where this is coming from is that I have always read, and one thing that I always was taught being in the radio space and being in the video game and on social media is, one, if you release anything, never follow up about it and never read your comments, because you're going to be in a world of pain. Well, somebody should have told Bethesda that, because Bethesda's been going on Steam and defending Starfield. And there was an example where somebody on Steam reviewed Starfield and they said, I cannot believe that they decided to release this broken game. They have all these planets, but there's nothing on them. It's just a waste of space. And just so they can say it's a massive open multiplayer game. And Bethesda, one of the, I guess, the social media executives was just like, well, in space, there's not anything on planets either. And so,
I mean, he's not wrong. He's not.
So Bethesda's been going in, and when anybody has any level of criticism, and in my opinion, I think a lot of this criticism is unjustified, because somebody was just like, there's nothing to do in this game. I don't know if it's shitposting. I just say that it's, in my opinion, a little bit harsh criticism. Because people are just like, oh, there's nothing to do in this game. And then Bethesda was just like, well, we do have 100 hours of worth of like video game content of like stories written. We have 250,000 lines of dialogue. How can you say that there's nothing to do?
Yeah.
100%. I mean,
there's plenty to do in Starfield.
Yeah, I've been working security since I've been working security for the last 3 months. I'm almost promoted.
Meanwhile, I'm a freaking like smuggler. I've been stealing ships.
I have not successfully sold a single ship. You're further than I am. I've
stolen so many.
I'm still on the first ship.
Dude, I walk up to a planet, I'll see a ship there, I get in it. It's mine.
This guy is
that's funny. I love
dude, it. Was deep voice. It was actually really funny.
He's like, dude, he's like, it was so give me that funny. Ship.
Oh give my god. Ship. I'm wild. So like I was on this planet and I was just exploring the planet. I had like a side quest on the planet. Yeah. And I was like just exploring it, just in the lay of the land. I came by this outpost, right? Just with just these random settlers. I didn't even go and talk to them. I saw that there was a ship. I ran straight in the ship, got in it, just I was gone. And then I claimed it in the space because you pay a fee and you could claim it as yours. I paid the fee. And then I landed back on that planet and went and talked to them. Afterwards, I'm a savage.
He took their ship.
And then the one time I was in, I was like, hey, what's up, guys? What's going on over here?
They're like, you have a ship that looks a lot like ours.
That's insane.
I'm so shady. And then the one time I was in like this big fight, like in space, like it was me, like a bunch of like UC Rangers. Like there was like 10 ships just going at it. In the middle of the fight, I like knocked this dude's engines out. I parked up next to him, ran under, like got on, like docked him, got on his ship and killed them all, and then stole the ship as mine because it was strictly better.
Space pirate over here.
Oh, dude, I am just
scoffed. I love it.
See, it's interesting that you're further than I am in the story, because like once I made it to the main planet or whatever, you have to be.
I haven't done any of the story. As far as I got in the story, I have the constellation woman following me. I've done nothing with her, like see, of her storyline. I have no idea.
You're further than I then. I don't know who this bitch is. Like I landed onto that new after
who?
Yeah, I don't
even know her name. She just follows me around and kills
who
people
that?
With me.
Who that?
But whatchamacallit? No, like after like you introduce yourself to the constellation, you can like leave and go and like do your own thing for a little bit. I left and I never came back. I was just like, I got other stuff I got to go do. So I've just been on. I've been discovering shit. Her. So yeah, you're like
we're technically
you're one mission ahead of me.
But like I'm like a step ahead because I talked to her and just she was like, hey, I'll come with you and show you around. I just never did anything that she said. I just went and did my own thing.
So yeah, that's why I just think a lot of the criticisms about Starfield are unfounded because it is fun when you I guess if you have no like expectations this is a perfect game and you're just there just to like be a space whatever you want. It's a fun game. But if you're expecting Baldur's Gate or Spider-Man 2 level of you need to be entertained at all time, this isn't the game for you.
Which is fair.
All right. Before we call our episode, is there any final thoughts or parting words?
I can't think of anything.
Nothing for me.
All right. Well, this has been the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. Thank you all so much for joining us here. Wherever you may listen to podcasts, you can find us on your Spotify. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. Basically, anywhere you can listen to podcasts, we are there. If you like what we do here at the Uninformed Gamers page, be sure to give us a like, a follow, and even a share. Tell your friends about us. We'd always be happy to hear it. And if you would like to connect with me personally, you can find me controlling the Twitter page or X page, which sounds really disgusting, at Uninformed Gamers. Or you can find me controlling the TikTok at Uninformed Gamers. Or if you'd like to play with me on Xbox, it is Darkness Tiger. Or on PlayStation, it is Darkness Tiger 2. Even though I haven't turned my PlayStation 5 in like a month. all right, guys, go ahead and give your sign-offs.
Yeah, I'm Chameleon. You can find me on Twitter at Chameleon Games.
Hey. And as always, I am Mason, also known as Rad Dreams from Rad Dreams Review on YouTube, as well as Rad_Dreams on Twitch.
Thank you all so much for joining us. We will talk to you next time. Bye.
Later.
Peace.